Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It's time for a Zach Gelb Show, Week 11 edition of No Huddle Offense.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Another game. And where Justin Fields plays really, really well, but the Bears lose. Falcons win 27-24. Justin Fields, we found out, has a dislocated left shoulder. So it's his non-throwing shoulder. He's day-to-day. We'll see if he suits up this week for the game against the Jets. Justin Fields, 14-21, 153 yards, a touchdown and interception. Also had 18 rushes for 85 yards and a score. But the star of the game was Cordarrelle Patterson, as he made NFL history. He had his ninth kickoff return for a touchdown. That's the most in NFL history. Passes Josh Cribbs and Leon Washington, who were tied entering the game, at Cordarrelle Patterson with 8. Let's hear the ninth career kickoff return for a touchdown in NFL record by Dave Archer on the Falcons Radio Network and Wes Durham, as Cordarrelle Patterson makes history with a 1-of-3 kickoff return.
Cordarrelle Patterson out of the end zone. He'll hit the 20, 25. Here goes CP. 35, 40. Patterson on his way. 30. He's got the 20. 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Holy smokes.
There's the record.
For the ninth time in his career, Cordarrelle Patterson has returned a kick for a touchdown, and 3 of them of the 9 have come against the Chicago Bears.
Next stop, we go to Detroit for Bills and Browns. Yep, that's right. Because of the thunder snow, Orchard Park got up to 6 feet of snow. The game could not happen in Buffalo. They go to Detroit. Bills got off to a slow start. They were a little bit cold. Then they got hot. They win 31-23 over the Browns. Here's Devin Motor Singletary on a 5-yard score to make it 22-10 in the third quarter. This is John Murphy on the Bills Radio Network.
Josh is under center, takes the snap, hands it off. Devin Singletary cuts right, goes back left, into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! A 5-yard touchdown run by Motor.
This was a 10-3 game, and then Buffalo did not look back, as they did have a 25-10 lead and then a 28-10 lead. So 25 unanswered points for Buffalo. And the final score, Bills 31, Browns 23. Josh Allen, 18-27 for 197 yards and a score. Devin Singletary, as you just heard, had the rushing touchdown, 86 yards on the ground. James Cook, 11 carries for 86 yards as well. Nick Chubb, 14 for 19 yards, did also have 48 receiving yards and 3 receptions. Bills bounce back after a 2-game losing streak. Browns 3-7. They will have one more game without Deshaun Watson, and they'll get him back 2 weeks from now against the Houston Texans. And Hickey, my biggest takeaway from this game is that the Buffalo Bills showed that they could run without Josh Allen. Only 3 carries for 7 yards. Singletary and Cook really did go off.
One of the most, you could say, impactful, results of the weekend. Because if this is consistent for the Bills,
Look out, man. They're going to be a handful. If they can get two running backs going now, not Josh Allen, massive.
Eagles were down 10 entering the fourth quarter. They end up beating the Colts by 1 point. Jalen Hurts on a 7-yard quarterback run for a touchdown to make it 17-16 with 1:20 left in the fourth quarter. Here is Merrill Reese on the Eagles radio network.
Third down. Game on the line. Hurts in the gun. Hurts takes the snap. He's back. He's going to run. He's in! Touchdown! Jalen Hurts! Jalen Hurts on the quarterback draw scores, and the Eagles can take the lead with the extra point.
Extra point was good. Jalen Hurts, 18-25 for 190 yards and a passing touchdown. Also had 86 yards and a rushing score on the ground. Hickey, what's up with your mascot, by the way? The Colts mascot.
Blue. What about him?
You didn't see how he was celebrating the Jalen Hurts touchdown? He was trying to taunt Jalen Hurts a little bit, and then Jalen Hurts gave it right back?
And it's just some good play. You know, he's doing the air hump. What do you got to do? He scored right in his face.
Yeah, I think he just fall down there. It looked like he was celebrating it. It didn't look good.
You're saying that Blue is happy that the Eagles scored?
No, I think he should just fall down. It looked like he was happy.
Interesting. That's what I'm saying. You think he was celebrating? Like, you know,
no,
maybe,
I don't think so.
Maybe it was Frank Reich in the costume.
Maybe had Eagles money line.
Could have. That's a big quarterback draw then.
Because he definitely did not have the Eagles minus 6.5 points celebrating that, because wouldn't have won him regardless. I think he may have had Eagles money line. We may have to investigate and suspend your mascot. If Calvin Ridley gets suspended for a year, maybe your mascot, what, Blue?
Who's going to do the air humps then? You got to get the air humps in.
I'll have you do it. You're a team mascot anyway for them. Regardless.
I am. That
you're a sycophant for the Colts.
False.
You're still defending Frank Reich. Devontae Smith, 6 catches for 78 yards. Eagles, they improve to 9-1. Let's go to the Patriots-Jets game. This was 3-3. The Patriots, in terms of yards, were dominating the Jets. The Jets only had 7 second-half yards, which is just crazy. But really, Hickey, this felt like the entire game, either a quarterback or a defensive quarterback was going to make a mistake for a score, or there was going to be some type of special team score. And Zach Wilson almost threw 2 interceptions. Devin McCourty dropped one. Jonathan Jones dropped what would have been a pick 6. But you saved the best for last. And this was the first punt return for a touchdown this year. Marcus Jones, who? 84-yard punt return for a score to make it 10-3 with 5 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Let's hear Bob Sosi and the sound effects of Scott Zolak on the Patriots Radio Network.
The snap, waist high, pressure-free punt, and it's a good one. Forcing Jones to backpedal, right side at the 16. Stabbed left, ran it right, down the sideline, to the 40, to the 50, to the left, left at the 45, beats the punter to the 35-30. Marcus Jones down the middle of the 10, into the end zone.
Touchdown!
No flag!
And a right
touchdown! Patriots!
Way to call timeout! Way to bleed the clock! And the special teams and the defense wins it for you. Almost in a walk-off. Attaboy, Jets, you're ready for prime time. Get your buses started. Get on the plane. See you back in New York.
Nothing will ever top unicorns, show ponies, where's the beef after Brady hit Kembrell Tompkins and you just had Scott Zolak lose it. That's his second best call of the season. I still will say nothing tops. I think it was an interception for a touchdown when the Lions went for it on 4th and 9 and he was just crushing the analytic nerds. I don't think anything tops that, right?
No. Because
this one was really damn good. It was close. But it doesn't top going after the analytic nerds.
Great job, Dan Campbell. Take that in your notebook. Take that in your notes, nerds.
Put it in a blender, you nerds.
And also, when you start with kill him, yeah. Nothing beats that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're going after the quarterback that forced the throw, and he was like, kill him.
It's an extremely high bar that he set for himself with that call.
Jets offense had 10 punts to just 9 completions for the game. Zach Wilson, 9-22 for 77 yards today. Robert Saleh would not commit to starting Zach Wilson this week against the Bears, and I think that's sending a message to the young quarterback that you have to play better and also maybe take some accountability after the game because afterwards he was asked Zach Wilson if he felt like he let the defense down, and he said no. Mac Jones, 23 of 27 for 246 yards. Patriots get the win. They beat the Jets twice, 14 straight up against those Jets, 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 Jets. Saints 27, Rams 20. Chris Olave, who was my pick for Rookie of the Year. I don't think he's going to win it, but he's putting up a strong fight. 53-yard touchdown reception. This made it 24-14 in the third quarter. Here's Mike Haas on the Saints Radio Network.
Out of the shotgun, right in the middle of the field. David Johnson to Dalton's right. Saints under pressure. Dalton throws it to the middle of the field, looking for Olave, who makes the catch. And see you later, bye. Chris Olave with the touchdown. That's how you go from second and 23 to a touchdown.
Olave, five catches for 102 yards, and that score, the third game of 100-plus yards this season, which is second most for a rookie in Saints history. Andy Dalton, 21-25 for 260 yards and three touchdowns. And Matthew Stafford, who left the game to be evaluated for a concussion and never returned, was 11 of 18 for 159 yards and two passing scores. The first time this year, if you're a Giants fan, that you could be disappointed with Big Blue. Bad performance up against the Lions. Giants are now 7-3. And how about Detroit? Bite off those kneecaps for Dan Campbell. Three wins in a row. Jamal Williams, a one-yard touchdown rush to make it 24-6. This was his third rushing score of the day. This is Dan Miller on the Lions Radio Network.
Goff up under center. He turns, gives Jamal Williams, bounces it outside right into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Number three on the day for Jamal.
17 carries for 64 yards and those three touchdowns for Jamal Williams. Amon-Ra St. Brown, seven catches for 76 yards. Daniel Jones, 27 of 44 for 341 yards, a touchdown, two picks, 50 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown. If you listened to me before the day, I did tell you I love Daniel Jones plus 170 on any time touchdown. He got one. Saquon Barkley, 15 carries for only 22 yards. Giants fall to 7-3. Lions have won three in a row. And how about this, Hickey? Lions-Bills on Thanksgiving? Lions? Not that they're this great team, but they're giving you a reason to watch.
They are turning it around. The offense coming alive. How about that?
And the defense, most importantly.
True.
Which
That's
has been
true.
Terrible. They held the Packers to 9 points. Aiden Hutchinson with another interception, his second of his career, the second of the season, as this is his first NFL season. A heck of a story with Detroit. Ravens-Panthers, there's highlights from this. Ravens win 13-3 over Carolina. Lamar Jackson got in the end zone, a one-yard touchdown to make it 13-3 in the fourth. Here's Jerry Sandusky, Jerry with a G on the Ravens Radio Network.
Jackson will keep it on the read option, jukes a man, stumbles to the one, dives in for the touchdown. Lamar Jackson extends the Ravens' lead with the first rushing touchdown and the first touchdown of the game.
Lamar, 24 of 33 for 209 yards, had an interception, 11 rushes for 31 yards, and that rushing score. DeMarcus Robinson, the former Chiefs wide receiver, now with Baltimore, nine catches for 128 yards. And Baker Mayfield, who's not even a lock to start for the Panthers' next game, they may go to Sam Darnold. Baker was 21 of 33 for 196 yards and two interceptions. Hickey, I laid the three and a half points. I forget what it was with the Commanders over the Texans. Commanders win 23-10. I knew that bet was a winner right off the first score when Kendra Fuller had a 37-yard pick six to make it 7-0 right out of the gate. Here's Bram Weinstein on the Commanders Radio Network.
Second and 10 to 32. Snap to Mills. He's throwing again. This time, far sideline. Picked off by Fuller. 35-30. Down the sideline he goes. Pick six. He's in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington.
Taylor Ham-Heineke improves to 4-1 as the Commanders starter this year. And he was 15 of 27 for 191 yards. We'll get their next start. Antonio Gibson, 18 carries for 72 yards. And the Texans held to just 21 rushing yards on 16 carries. Raiders and Broncos. This game was basically over. The Broncos were up by three, coming out of the two-minute warning, 3rd and 10. Raiders can't stop the clock. And for some reason, the Broncos elected to pass it, and Russell Wilson threw the ball out of bounds. Raiders get the ball. They quickly get the ball down the field, almost had a chance to win the game in the end zone. They settle for a field goal. They win the coin flip, as you had a punter against a kicker for the coin flip. Foster Moreau, big catch, then a walk-off the next play by Devontae Adams, his second touchdown reception of the day. And this wins it in overtime, 22-16. Here's Jason Horowitz on the Raiders Radio Network.
Carr, play action again, looking downfield, lofts it near corner. Adams wide open at the five. He walks in, and the Raiders walk off with a win. Touchdown, Devontae Adams, to win it here in Denver.
Nothing against Jason Horowitz. He does a fine job. But I miss Brent Musburger, hot take hickey on the Raiders Radio Network for the last few years. We know how much of a legend Mr. Musburger is, but when you used to hear those touchdown Raiders, jackpot, baby, that was a great call.
Great voice, great call.
Iconic voice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who was that? Catherine Webb, remember, in that Alabama game? A.J. McCarron. Whoa, wow. Good to be
hey,
the quarterback
kids,
of Alabama.
That's why you want to play quarterback.
Devontae Adams, 7 catches for 141 yards and 2 touchdowns. Did Derek Carr cry after the game? Were there tears of joy?
I don't think so.
I didn't hear his post-game press conference.
No tears from what I've seen.
23 of 37 for the Raiders QB, 307 yards and 2 passing touchdowns. Josh Jacobs, 24 carries for 109 yards. Cowboys dismantle the Vikings. Cowboys, who blew a lead to the Packers last week. Vikings found a way to get that victory against the Bills. Roles reversed this week where the Cowboys just dominate Minnesota. Dallas wins 40-3. Tony Pollard, a 68-yard touchdown reception to make it 30-3. Here's Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network.
Snap back to Prescott. He's got a lot of time. Deep down the right side. Oh, it's caught at the 45. 40. Pollard. 20. 10. Pollard. Uncle. 68 to Tony Pollard on 3rd and 15. Good night, nurse.
That's the largest road victory in Cowboys history. It's also the worst home loss for the Vikings since 1963. Tony Pollard, 15 carries for 80 yards and 6 receptions for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. Dak Prescott, efficient, 22 of 25 for 276 yards and 2 touchdowns. Bengals and Steelers, scrappy effort by the Steelers, not good enough. Bengals win 37-30. Samaje Perine, who got a lot of play yesterday because Joe Mixon left the game. He had a 6-yard touchdown for his 3rd touchdown of the game. This made it 37-23 in the 4th quarter. Here is Dan Horde and Dave Lapham. Let's hear the sound effects of Dave Lapham on the Bengals Radio Network.
Burrow in the shotgun now. 2-by-2 formation. Perine in the backfield. Burrow back to throw. Flips it out to Perine. Looking for his 3rd.
Get in.
Touchdown catch. Yeah. Runs yeah. over the pylon.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Yeah. Bengals. Oh. Samaje Perine with a 3-touchdown catch game.
So 3 receiving scores for Samaje Perine. Also had 15 touches for 82 combined yards. Joe Burrow, 24-39, 355 yards. Did throw 2 interceptions, but also tossed. Not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 touchdowns. Kenny Pickett, 25 of 42, 265 yards and a touchdown. Probably should have had another one if Deontay Johnson just could have caught the football. And finally, Chiefs-Chargers. Another battle where the Chargers look like the better team, but the Chiefs win the game. Travis Kelce, 17-yard touchdown reception, his 3rd of the game to make it 30-27 with 31 seconds left. And then Nick Bolton picked off Justin Herbert to end the game. This is Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Ball was snapped on the near hash. Chiefs load up 3 to the left side. Mahomes crossing pattern caught. Kelce 10-yard line, 5-yard line, touchdown! Kansas City! Will Kelce do it to the Chargers again on a crossing pattern? A touchdown! And now Travis Kelce, a 17-yard touchdown reception to take the lead, plus his 33rd 100-yard receiving game of his career. The most by a tight end in National Football League history.
Chiefs still playing pressure on the receivers with 2 deep safeties. Herbert's in trouble again. He will unload it down the middle. It's going to be deflected and intercepted. Intercepted at the 42-yard line. Yes, Nick Bolton. Why not Nick Bolton? He's playing at an all-pro level in the Kansas City. Chiefs are going to do it again to the Chargers.
Travis Kelce, 6 catches for 115 yards and those 3 scores. Patrick Mahomes, 20 of 34, 329 yards and 3 touchdowns. Hickey, I entered my fantasy matchup, and I know no one cares about my fantasy team, but I'm going up tonight against, it's Christian McCaffrey, and I want to say Kittle. So I was down by 10. I just had Mahomes, and then I have Hopkins. I go into this matchup tonight up 18 because of what Mahomes did last night. He's just ridiculous.
Cheat code, not bad.
Isaiah Pacheco, 15 carries, 170 yards. Is the first Chiefs running back with 100-plus yards since week 4 of 2021. And Justin Herbert, 23 of 30 for 280 yards, two passing touchdowns, and also did have a rushing score as well. Chiefs 30, Chargers 27 is the final there. All righty, that is your week 11 edition of No Huddle Offense. We'll break when we come on back. A lot of speculation about Lane Kiffin. We'll tell you what that speculation is next.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Oh, yeah. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We may have the first big domino to fall in the college coaching carousel. Hickey, quick idea. You think we could pull this off by Wednesday? You know, we do the quarterback carousel and we've done the drafts for NFL coaches. You think we maybe pick the big jobs across the USA in college football and try to get some predictions in on Wednesday's show since I'm off tomorrow?
The only tough part is I wonder how many more jobs are going to open after the season.
That's true, but just with what we have right now. You got Auburn open.
Amended one if more jobs open up.
Arizona State. You got Colorado, Georgia Tech.
Wisconsin, Nebraska. Potentially now Ole Miss.
Yeah. So here's the report. Now, I may or may not have had dinner with this guy at a Super Bowl once through a group of friends that this guy's friendly with because he looks familiar. And he did go to Ithaca. Not that I went to Ithaca, but I'm friendly with people that went to Ithaca that I'd be at this dinner with. So this guy's name is John Sokoloff. I think is how you say his last name. And supposedly, Sokoloff has some sources. Now, the job for this guy is he is a sports director and anchor at a Mississippi television station. He's also a Heisman voter, and according to his Twitter bio, which is actually verified. Now, Hickey, can you do me, I think this is a legit account, but can you just make sure this is not a paid verification? Judging by the people that follow him, I'm going to say this is not a paid verification. And this is going viral anyway, so if we're getting duped by it, then everyone got duped by it. But he is an
AP. It's legitimate verification.
Oh, so Sokoloff guy's big deal. AP award-winning journalist John Sokoloff is reporting that Ole Miss's head coach Lane Kiffin plans to step down as the Rebels coach Friday and head to Auburn to become the Tigers' next head coach, according to sources. Sources say the Tigers haven't officially offered the job to anyone yet, so Lane to Auburn is happening. Story soon. My first reaction, not surprised whatsoever if it's true. We had this conversation a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and even though Hickey was saying, and I did agree with you, that the preference would be what Lane Kiffin's doing at Ole Miss is working right now, I would like for him to stay. I thought he was going to leave to go to Auburn because you have a chance to win a national championship at Auburn. Didn't feel like that was going to happen at Ole Miss, even though he's done a good job with that program the last few years. I thought for sure the number one target for Auburn was going to be Lane Kiffin. There was two other coaches that we were considering in the conversation, Hugh Freeze or Deion Sanders. Lane Kiffin's target one. If he's offered the job, I'd be shocked if he doesn't take it. But the way this report is worded is that sources say the Tigers haven't officially offered the job to anyone yet. So Lane Kiffin, if this report is true, that he's planning to step down on Friday, must be very confident that this offer is going to come in the next 2 days or so. You would think, right, Hickey?
Yeah, I don't really like the wording on that. That sounds a little fishy. I know there's a lot of back channels and, you know, there's some, you know, handshakes underneath the table, but I mean, the timing feels very off, I will say.
Well, why does the timing feel off?
He's going to resign on Friday without having a job offer, and then what, they're going to play the Iron Bowl on Saturday with Cadillac Williams as the coach, and then Saturday night,
coach.
Sunday, you're going to hire Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, a lot of recruits are going to be there, right?
I think they would do it after the game earliest, like Sunday. I don't think like this. Like I don't think he's resigning Friday because if he resigns Friday, everyone knows what that means.
Well, yeah, everyone knows that he's going there. But if the Cats at, well, here's the other thing. This guy is a reporter for a Mississippi State television station, and he covers the Ole Miss football team. Is this maybe, let me just throw a different line of thinking here. Is this Lane maybe a little bit skeptical if he's going to get the job, and he wants it out there pretty much that he's willing to resign right now to go get the job? Could that be in play? That maybe there's some waiting here since the job in this report has not been offered yet to Lane Kiffin. That's something that did cross my mind on this one.
It's so tough because Lane's such a tough guy to read where he's pretty
It wouldn't shock me if Lane gave this story to the reporter. That would seem like a very Lane Kiffin thing to do. This is not a well-known reporter. Maybe they have a relationship and Lane likes the guy and he kind of gave him the tip that I'm planning on resigning on Friday.
I guess my entire vision of this is that if he was to leave Ole Miss, I looked at it more like Lincoln Riley. Where sure, not that it's a surprise he's leaving because, again, we've been talking about it for, 2 months now?
Yeah.
But it happened so fast and out of nowhere. It's just like, boom, okay, he's coach. He's already basically en route. I don't think this would just kind of leak out and be sloppily gone about where it's just like, oh, he's going to resign Friday and all these other rumors. I think it would just happen bang.
There was never really much of a hint that Lincoln Riley was going to be the next football coach for USC.
I'm not saying like, I'm just saying more how it happens. Like the report comes out and it's like within like an hour, he's the coach.
Okay.
That's
why I don't think it's comparable. I get what you're saying because Lincoln Riley, it didn't happen until we found out about it, that he was going to get that job. Lane Kiffin's been speculated about now going to Auburn for the last few weeks.
But that's the thing. It's speculation. Like, there's been actually no hard reporting. Like, the talk of him leaving is not surprising. Like, the point I'm making with Lincoln Riley is not that, the same thing was him. It was a shock he was leaving. But there was no rumors or reports whatsoever, actual reporting, he was leaving.
But you're leaving Oklahoma. Leaving Oklahoma is a little bit different than leaving Ole Miss. No disrespect to the folks that run that university and that are part of that university. Oklahoma is one of those mega, mega jobs. You don't think usually the coach of Oklahoma would be leaving Oklahoma, but there's a rare brand in USC. I think everyone understands, even though it's inside the SEC, that Lane Kiffin's leaving Auburn or leaving to go to Auburn from Ole Miss. I don't think it needs to be that secretive. And Lane's also always a little bit bizarre when it comes to these jobs. So,
but I think he's almost like too honest. Like, I think this whole thing feels sloppy right now with how it's going about. I just can't see this report actually being true. And now we're sitting here playing, you know, he's going to resign on Friday and be in limbo, you know.
To what extent? Because I've been saying this from the start. I think Lane Kiffin's going to be the next head football coach of Auburn. I could maybe see your argument in this, and I'm not saying that you're totally wrong. If he resigns on Friday, I wouldn't be shocked by that. But
if you're saying that it's not true in terms of that it's going to happen on Friday or that he's not going to be the coach of Auburn?
More the timing. Like, I don't think he's resigning on Friday and just kind of sitting, you know.
That's fine.
I know it's 48 hours, but let's say sitting jobless for 48 hours. Everyone's like, oh, I wonder where Lane's going to go. Like, it's obvious if he resigns where he's going. I just think it would happen quickly. It's Monday, next week, Tuesday, where he'd be hired in one fell swoop compared to now him resigning before the Iron Bowl again, taking some attention away, which I do want to point out, Barrett Salee, who's an alum of Auburn, CBS Sports NFL or college football reporter, did say, timing-wise, he doesn't buy the report.
Okay. So timing-wise, I could wave the white flag and say that maybe you're right on that. And maybe this doesn't come to fruition on Friday, but at this point, my expectation would be that Lane Kiffin's going to be the coach of Auburn.
Where would you put that on this job if this is true?
Oh, remember my? You don't remember my prediction from a few weeks ago?
No, not that who would be the coach. I said, where would you put it? Like, ranking-wise. Let's just operate that Wisconsin is open currently.
Oh, and Wisconsin, not Jim Leonard's. I'd rather have Wisconsin than Ole Miss.
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Interesting. Arizona State? Would you take Arizona State or Ole Miss? Georgia Tech?
I'd rather have Ole Miss.
Anyone else?
No.
Colorado?
No. No. I think the next coach of Ole Miss, and I saw there was one report today that it was USF and Colorado had talks with Deion Sanders. As I said a few weeks ago, and first off, if Deion Sanders leaving Jackson State, it's not to go to Colorado or USF. This guy had interest in Power 5 jobs last year. TCU, and there was one other job. I forget what the other job was.
Colorado State.
Oh, that was the other job?
Yes, okay. Sir.
The other job that I think, and I predicted this a few weeks ago, is Ole Miss. I want Deion Sanders in the SEC. Like, if he gets the Nebraska job, okay. Wisconsin job, okay. Those are big jobs in the Big Ten. I would love to see Deion Sanders in the SEC. And that's why I said a few weeks ago that Lane Kiffin was going to go to Auburn, and I think that Deion Sanders could be in play for Ole Miss. And you'd be taking over a program when it's in a good time to take over. Now, a lot of that was Lane, but we know Deion can pretty much recruit anybody. I would love for Ole Miss to hire Deion Sanders if they're losing Lane Kiffin.
Personality-wise, you wouldn't drop off, that's for sure, going from Lane Kiffin to
no,
Deion Sanders.
No, I think you may even improve, even with how great of a personality is of Lane Kiffin. No one's better than Deion in terms of personality from coaches. Maybe Ed Orgeron, go Tigers, but he's not going to be a coach again. Unless it's a smaller school. I would say for Ed Orgeron. I don't think he's got another big time.
He's got to just be himself. Live off the Edo persona.
Well, coach has slimmed down. He's lost some weight. He's running around all the time with his shirt off.
He's got a lot more time now to work out.
Yeah, he's been going on all these college tours. Partying up big time, Coach O.
I would do the same thing if you were. Yeah. You got $17 million to go. Why have you spent that money? That's for sure.
Yeah. So who's the next coach of Ole Miss, in your opinion? If this report is true, that Lane Kiffin is going to resign on Friday, which we're skeptical of, but you're in agreement, though, that he's going to Auburn, right? It's just you don't think it's necessarily going to be by Friday.
I'm still going to say that he's at Ole Miss next year.
Wow.
I don't think he's leaving. I don't think he's leaving.
I see. I appreciate one quality about you. When it looks like you're wrong on something, you really dig your heels in deep until the last possible second.
Well, no disrespect to John Sokoloff. I've never heard of this guy before, so I'm not going to change my entire thought
you
based on one person.
You never heard of
person.
John Sokoloff?
I have not. I'm
the
sorry
Sokoloff
to,
sourcing? You never heard of?
Everyone who's gone to Ithaca College, your friends that apparently know him.
Well, yeah. I think I had dinner with this guy once at a Super Bowl.
If so, I don't mean to disrespect him and his friends. But I will stick to my guns
must
here.
Must have not been that entertaining.
Until, you know, Pete Thamel or Barrett Salee is like, oh, he's going Auburn.
Okay. Take a time out. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hickey has an issue with John Sokoloff. Doesn't like the guy. Saying his report is erroneous. I'm not rooting for Sokoloff.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Real quickly, Cardinals up 3-0 on the 49ers. 2:55 remaining and running in the first quarter. The Cardinals have the football, and on third down, they're going to have an incomplete pass. So the 49ers are going to get the ball back. The 49ers have had the ball twice so far. They have punted on, I think, a combined 7 plays because they had a penalty in there as well that got them a first down, I believe, on first down. But this has been dreadful so far for the 49ers offense. And Hickey, this is a night for the 49ers where you've been someone that keeps on saying the 49ers are the best team in the NFC. And from a talent standpoint, you may be right. And they have the experience. They do get the benefit of the doubt. They have a good coach in Kyle Shanahan. And they added Christian McCaffrey. You have Deebo Samuel. Like, they are loaded with talent on the offense side of the ball and defense side of the ball. The 49ers, though, if we judge them based off their actual play this year, have not been an impressive team. And a lot of people like you keep on saying when it's all said and done, they're going to be the team that rises to the top because the NFC is so open. Philadelphia only has one loss. Didn't have a great performance yesterday. Did come from behind, though, to get the victory against the Colts. Vikings, 1 week they beat the Bills. Then they get dismantled by the Dallas Cowboys, 40-3. Dallas, they blow the 14-point lead last week to Green Bay, then bounce back and crush the Vikings, 40-3. You just go around the state of the NFC. Tampa, they have not proved a lot this year, but they still have Tom Brady. I don't think Seattle's a Super Bowl contender, but they are 6-4. And they're a good team when you look at Geno Smith and Lockett and Metcalf and the way that Pete has that defense improving week in and week out. The NFC is wide open, so you're just banking off the past and the way the roster is constructed for them to really have a great chance at the end of the year where I could see the logic. But it is a little bit concerning, and we're only a quarter in. But it's once again fitting the narrative about the 49ers all year long, where they just, when they play, they've not been a team that's had many tangible moments this year that make me latch on to them and say, wow, this is some great football team that we're watching.
And you're not wrong. I can't sit here and tell you, you know, that, you know, you're off base or something like that, but I'll even go back to last year. I mean, kind of the same thing last year, too.
Good point.
They basically played a playoff game week 18 and had to beat the Rams just to get into the playoffs. So,
and there
for
was a lot of times,
reason.
I remember there was a game before they played the Lions last year where we were talking about, oh, get Trey Lance ready and turn the baton over to Trey Lance, and eventually Garoppolo found a way to get the job done.
I don't know what it is. They just hate the regular season, don't take it seriously, but it's like they kind of sleepwalk through. Then all of a sudden the playoffs come. That's when they kind of, to their credit, play play their best.
So if we go into their schedule this year, in the monsoon, Trey Lance, they lose to the Bears 19-10. They beat the Seahawks. Lance gets hurt. Jimmy G comes in. They win 27-7 at the time. No one really knew what the Seahawks were. And it's not like the Seahawks are this unstoppable team and this great team, but they've been good this year. They lose to the Broncos 11-10. Jimmy Garoppolo played one of the worst games you'll ever see from a quarterback. Their best win probably this year, because at the time we didn't know that the Rams weren't going to be good, But the way that they just dominated the Rams 24-9 and manhandled them in the trenches, probably their best win of the season. When you beat the Panthers 37-15 and it wasn't even great in the first half, like, sorry, not going to be a game that you jump for joy. I know they had 8 or 9 guys out on the defensive side against the Falcons. They lost 28-14. They got crushed by the Chiefs 44-23. Then they crushed the Rams 31-14. They beat the Chargers. They had to come from behind. Chargers were down to 3 defensive linemen, had both tackles out on the offensive side of the ball. No Mike Williams, no Keenan Allen that game. You're only able to win 22-16. And then tonight, not that this game is over, not that they're not going to win this game. I think they will. But they're down 3-0 pretty much through the first quarter between the Cardinals and the 49ers. And the 49ers going up against a Cardinals team, which, by the way, is starting Colt McCoy tonight because Kyler Murray's hurt. So other than wins against the Rams, there's really not been anything tangibly that you look at and you go, oh, it's impressive. And the Rams, now the way that we view them, you know what that Rams loss, Rams victory was early in the year? It's like when a college football team you think has a really good win, and the team that they're going up against at the end of the year finishes outside the top 25, and you go, okay, yeah, it was a good one at the time. But the way that they play that played out doesn't end up looking like the strongest thing in the world.
And it's a good thing for the 49ers. This is not the college football playoff, right? You don't need style points. Sure. You don't have to, you know, try to, you know, have your resume look good because you just lay it out.
Honestly,
the resume is not very good.
I would
good
be
whatsoever.
Fine if they only put 4 teams in the NFL playoffs this year in the NFC. You're going to have some bad teams get in this year.
But it's who can take advantage.
Yeah.
And you know what? Also, too, like this is. Now, as we get to Thanksgiving, this is really the time where teams and contenders turn it up, right? Usually after Thanksgiving, now this is real big boy
as
football.
As Bill Belichick would say, that's when their season actually starts.
100%. So now let's also see, like you said, starting really tonight with a banged-up Cardinals team, this should be a game where you control and then now start to move ahead the rest of the season, last 6-7 weeks, last third of the year. You should really start to round into form.
So you like to pride yourself on being a deep thinker. You do.
I don't know about that, but sure.
No, you like to, even though you have a lot of hot takes, you think you give a lot of thought into your opinions, and sometimes I'll even yell at you that dead air isn't good on the radio when I ask you a question and you're like,
That's right. I hate trying to go off the top of my head because I'm not very fast off the top of my head, and I don't want to give you a willy-nilly answer.
Well, I'm asking you to go right off the top of your head right here.
Oh, no.
I'm going to give you a team in the NFC. You tell me what your biggest concern is with that team.
Ooh.
If you take more than 3 seconds, I'm going to yell at you, okay? You ready?
I'm standing up. I'm ready to go.
Eagles.
Defensive line. Run game. Sorry, I'm actually really bad on the spot. My biggest concern is that they peaked too early.
They have pieces on the defensive line, but their run defense hasn't been good, even though yesterday was a step in the right direction.
My biggest fear is that they peaked too early.
Okay. Cowboys.
Not coming up clutch.
First off, I love how you said Eagles.
I
defensive
panicked.
Line, run game. Sorry, I'm not good at this.
I am awful when you say on the spot, let's go, because then I panic.
So Eagles, they peaked too early.
Yes.
Cowboys, what was it?
It's not like never coming through in the clutch in the big moments. I don't trust Dak and Mike McCarthy.
Vikings.
Their defense overall. Their pass defense. Their pass defense.
Not
stinks.
Kirk Cousins first.
No.
Okay. 49ers.
Not putting it all together.
Bucks.
Offensive line.
Very good. Other than just a terrible start.
Well,
by
the
you,
Eagles
you
was horrendous.
Yourself.
Horrendous. I'm notoriously a slow starter. That first one was doomed. No matter who you said, that first one was doomed from the start.
Seahawks.
You want to say
Pete Carroll? Stop.
I'm kidding.
You apologize right now.
I hate to say, I'm going to go Geno Smith. I just don't know. I don't know.
Okay. I can't even give you another team. Giants? Like, they're not a Super Bowl contender.
Daniel Jones.
Okay. And that was valid yesterday. But other than that, there's another team. Commanders?
What is my quarterback? I love Taylor Heineke. I can't trust him.
Taylor Ham Heineke.
Excuse
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. We should make t-shirts for that. I think that would be a good selling t-shirt.
I was just going to say, they have to be out there, right? Maybe not.
I don't know.
Is Taylor Ham in the DMV? Does that travel down south? Is that just a Jersey thing?
That I don't know. I've only heard of it in Jersey. People refer to it as Taylor Ham.
Well, if you look it up, if it is, yeah. I think you're right. Then quit our day job and go start outside, you know.
Moose, when I, Mark Malusis, who used to host here and now host down the hall, he told me over the weekend I was like a young Chris Berman when I used the shtick of Taylor Ham Heineke on him. I thought that was a nice compliment.
Taylor Ham Heineke serving it up hot on a pork roll there for the Commanders. Hits the spot like a hangover Taylor Ham sandwich.
Zach Gilchrist, CBS Sports Radio. Five questions, five answers, onside, offside. Next!
Get him out of here!
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.